01101001 for president.
Inconceivable!
Senator David Thompson was the current nominee for the Republican National Party. He was tall, fat, old, and prone to outbursts such as the one he currently gave.
I will not be forced into a race with this thing!
I'm not a thing. I am a man. The thing, or man if you like, was Senator James Williams Thierce, candidate for the Democrats. He was tall, young, slender, and smashingly good-looking. This was only part of the reason that Senator Thompson was enraged.
I will not go against him, of all candidates! It's not right, I tell you, it's just not right!
Senator Thierce stood and smoothed out the front of his suit. Senator, I will not stay here and be abused by your verbal berating any longer.
And I will not stay in the same room with you!
Thompson declared and struggled to get out of his seat. Gentlemen, gentlemen, please, sit back down. We're here to introduce you two to each other. As presidential candidates, you both must at least make an appearance of civility. The camera crews are setting up in the other room now, and both of you are expected to appear. The man attempting to mediate the fray was George Wilson. His job was to assure that both men looked presentable and appeared on national television where the two candidates for president would be announced. The current president, due to failing health, had decided not to seek a second term. The vice president cited similar excuses. Of course, that led to many conspiracy theories. Even though Senator Thompson was often included in those theories, that isn't this story. Senator Thierce sat down calmly and cast his gentle gaze at Senator Thompson. The stand and comment had been planned and calculated. He knew this would fluster the other nominee, and this was the way he wanted the man to appear on television. Senator, Thierce said in an even tone, why do you have such hostility against my running for president?
Why? Why? You dare ask why?
Thompson's blood pressure was visibly rising by a protruding vein in his balding forehead.
I'll tell you why. You're not human!
There was a collective gasp from the room, except from James, who smiled slightly. That is not fully true.
You're a machine, and machines cannot run for president.
I am not fully a machine. My mother was a human.
I don't care who your mother was. Your father was a robot.
James Thierce closed his eyes and moved his head back ever so slightly, as if the words were a physical slap in his face. The silence grew, if possible, even quieter. My father was not a robot, as you so elegantly put it. My father was an android. Senator Thompson's face reddened even more.
You admit it! You just sat there and admitted you're not human!
I will admit, also, that I was born from a human mother.
But you're not 100% red-blooded American!
Now let me stop you right there. James remained calmed and held up a hand to stop the man from going any further. If you question the fact that I am an American, how then did I rise to the position of senator and currently am the Democratic nominee for president? Thompson took several deep breaths while a man in a bow tie leaned and whispered into his ear. He leveled his stare and spoke more calmly.
I misspoke. What I meant to say was that because you're not a full human-born man, you are not eligible to be president.
The fat, greasy smile that sat on his lips, just under the pencil-thin mustache, was as ugly as it was taunting. To enforce the taunt further, he slowly crossed his arms over his large chest, where they slid down to rest on his stomach. That is also not true. I am 35.
You're not human! Therefore, you cannot be a fully qualified citizen of the United States. Only a citizen of the United States can become a president, and you're not!
The law states, and I quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside.
Nonsense! You were created, not born!
On the contrary, I have a birth certificate. Unless you mean to claim that any person, even those who are 100% human by your standards, that are created through means of artificial insemination are not citizens. Is that your claim, Senator Thompson?" Once again, Senator Thompson looked flustered and at a loss for words, and once again, the man in the bow tie leaned down and whispered something. Again, the smile crossed the senator's chubby face.
"You were not born here on United States soil. Therefore, you have no claim to citizenship."
"It is true, and I do not dispute that I was not born in the United States. My father, the android, Bob 11, was created in the United States. My mother was born in the United States and brought to Italy, where my father gave his DNA to my mother's ova. She was impregnated and gave birth to me. She then returned to the United States, where I, as a child born of a citizen, became a citizen myself. Would you like me to recite the specific law for you?" James's tone never faltered or changed to denote any emotion.
"I don't need the law recited to me as if I were a child. I know the law, and you should not be allowed to run for president."
"I am not becoming president today. I am only a nominee, just like you."
"And with a sympathy vote, you're almost assured of victory. My running against you will be a farce. This cannot be allowed."
Senator David Thompson was once again out of his seat and yelling at the top of his voice. George Wilson stood up to once again stop the bout. "Senator Thompson, please, yelling achieves nothing. I only need you to remain seated until we can present the two of you to the country." An assistant to David Thompson scrambled over and began dabbing the sweat off the senator's brow. He wrinkled his face in annoyance and swatted the hand away before sitting back down. "I think," said Senator Thierce in his flat, calculated tone, "that you feel intimidated by me."
"What? That is outrageous! How could I be intimidated by someone like you?"
Thompson was screaming hysterically now, beads of sweat on his red brow turned to rivulets.
"I have nothing to fear from a person like you."
"Would you like me to repeat what you said earlier about how running against me would be like—"
"I don't need you to repeat what I said."
A door to the room opened, and a curly-haired young lady poked her head inside. "We're going to start in 2 minutes. Please try to keep it down in here." Senator Thierce, for the first time since entering the room, sat back in the high-backed chair, laid his hands in his lap, and grinned at Senator Thompson, who was puffing and panting as though he was about to have a stroke. The glare from the enraged man did nothing to cause James to stop smiling. Time passed quickly as several assistants worked on slicking back the remnants of Senator Thompson's hair and sopping the sweat from his forehead so their efforts to apply makeup could not be foiled. All the while, Thierce sat, cool, calm, collected. The curly-haired lady poked her head in once again. "Gentlemen, we're ready for you. You'll each be allowed only 5 minutes to speak about your nomination. Please do not turn this into a smear opportunity. Now let's get out there." Camera flashes assaulted the open doorway even before either could walk out. James was the courteous one, and he allowed Senator Thompson's massive bulk to emerge from the doorway first. There was a small stage set up, and the door opened from the back of it. Each candidate, with assistants in tow, made his way to their respective side of the stage to stand behind a podium. James smiled and waved with a bright, cheery expression, while Thompson wore a smug grin and waved his fat hand, as if he was too good to be waving at the common people. George, the mediator of the chaos from the other room, stood in the middle of the stage. "Ladies and gentlemen of the press, and to all of those watching around the world tonight, I'd like to present you to the Democratic and Republican nominees for president, Senator James Thierce and Senator David Thompson." A round of quiet, polite applause rose from the crowd. Most cameras were pointed at Senator Thierce. Thompson cleared his throat to garner some attention. Once again, his hand waved through the air. "Each nominee will be given 5 minutes to give a speech," George continued as flashbulbs continued to blind those on stage. All that is, except James. "Senator Thompson, we'll begin with you."
"Thank you. Let me start by saying that the best man,"
he put a little too much emphasis on the word man,
"has been chosen to represent the Republican Party."
He slicked his hair back and gave a foul glance at James, then continued.
"It was 35 years ago that experimentation with robots and artificial intelligence was put to an end. It was determined that if robots started to do our thinking for us, we would end up serving those who served us. Robots, on the whole, were outlawed. Think about that."
Senator Thompson was on a roll and not about to start talking about himself. He was only concerned with bashing his opponent, something he had been told not to do.
"What is on stage with me here today is the last intelligent robot ever built. He now seeks to be in control. I have to ask you, America, will you allow it? Not me. This goes against everything our forefathers set out for us 300 years ago. They meant for men to be in charge. They meant for men to rule. They didn't mean for machines to rule men. I accept my nomination and will do everything in my power to ensure that men stay in control and continue to make the decisions.
His voice started to rise and his face turned red.
I, for one, will not sit here and let a robot run this country. I will not stand by while a machine makes the laws. I will not be party to this joke of a nomination. America is for American people. Take a stand with me, America. Take a stand against this travesty. Take a stand against robots in politics. Don't allow this thing to deceive you. Don't be drawn in by temptation. This creature is not a creature of God. It is an unholy creation of the devil. Vote for humans. Vote for me.
After he took a few deep breaths, Senator Thompson concluded with,
"Thank you."
Senator James Thiers had a small smile as Senator Thompson finished his piece. It was just what James had expected. He was fully prepared with his response. Senator Thompson had a large grin, as if nothing James could say would undo the damning words that had just enraptured the crowd. James knew better. "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am not fully human, as the good Senator Thompson has been kind enough to point out. I am also not fully robot. My father was the last in a line of genetically perfected synthetic beings. He was pure and innocent. His life had been given to him by a team of scientists who found out they had created a new life form that had DNA. This DNA was implanted into the womb of my mother, a kind, peaceful woman. I grew, as any normal child would, with the love of my mother. I wasn't like most children, though. By the time I was 5 years old, I had learned every language spoken around the world, as well as several that are no longer spoken. As a president, I would not need an interpreter, and my words would never be misunderstood. I studied everything about space travel, politics, nuclear physics, chemistry, advanced mathematics, and by the time I was 10, I was able to help this great country achieve its first lunar base and interplanetary travel to Mars. I, as a private businessman, was able to set up recovery of comets and asteroids to have them mined for precious minerals and building materials to ensure that the population of the lunar base and Mars outposts went smoothly. I did this all by the time I was 15 years old. For the past 20 years, I have consulted every major business in the country and most around the world. I have helped scientists around the world solve the most difficult problems. I have had a wealth of experience that is rivaled by none. The only area of this country that has ever disheartened me has been its political arena. Now that I have set the state of California into its most profitable period ever, I wish to do the same for the entire country. I don't sleep or take breaks. I will be the first president ever who will not be taking a vacation or even a nap. I will be working around the clock to ensure that everything that needs to get done, gets done. I am not prone to anger, and I cannot be bribed or coerced. I cannot and would not lie. I can assure you that I will be there 100% for America and the American people. As I did in the private sector and as I did for California, I now wish to do for my country." For the first time, he allowed his speech to grow more intense and show his passion. "This is not a charge I will take lightly. I will purge our system of corruption. I will seek out problem areas and correct them. I have the capacity to look into every branch of government and our military. I will improve not only our country's position on this planet, but our planet's position in this solar system and in this galaxy." A cheer went up from the crowd that was nearly deafening. People stood and applauded with more enthusiasm than James had expected. The smile on his face and his waves to the crowd were as genuine as Senator Thompson's scowl. The two men were supposed to meet in the middle and shake hands. Senator Thompson glared at James, and without any motion to take the offered hand, turned and left. James turned back to the crowd and waved some more. Soon, he, James William Thiers, would be ruling these people. Of that he was 95.7% certain. Soon he would be the most powerful man in the world. Once again, synthetic humans would be back in production. He would no longer be alone on this hunk of rock. And he, as president, could put those synthetic clones of himself into positions of power to help achieve even greater power over the people of the world. This was how the end would be greeted, with cheers of victory.
Thank you.